God's good, amen? All the time. Who said that? Yeah. We don't always believe it all the time, but it sure is true. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. How many struggle with doing right? Do you struggle with doing right? By the way, I'll be in Romans chapter 6 tonight for the most part. Years ago, I was a young man that I knew very well. He wanted to live for the Lord, but constantly something would take place and he would react and he would follow the dictates of his flesh, and then he'd walk down the aisle and get it straight, and a few moments later be right back to the same thing. And one day he told me, he says, I've done this and done it, and it don't work. Today he doesn't go to church. Some might say, well, he never was saved. I don't know. But certainly he's been defeated as far as a Christian is concerned. I don't believe that God wants us to be defeated. There's a song we sing sometimes called Victory in Jesus. And yet we don't apply that as we really ought to. Tonight I want to share with you the gospel. Not the gospel to lost people, but the gospel to save people. There is a gospel. There's good news for you and for me. Notice verse 1 and 2 in this chapter. We'll deal with some more, but notice verse 1 and 2. Let me just take you back in mind just a little bit. When you come through the book of Romans, you find that God is dealing with and teaching, first three chapters especially, that we're sinners. And then he talks about how we can be justified by faith. And some illustrations are used, and you find that in chapter 4 and 5. And you're trying to get across very, very vehemently that the way we get saved is by faith. Well, there's a question that sometimes arises, and he answers that really with this first question. Because sometimes people say, well, if it's free, then I guess I'll just accepting my Savior and live the way I want to. But notice what it says. What shall we say then, after that being justified by faith? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the privilege to come. I pray that you would just work on our hearts. Give us understanding, but more than understanding, a realization of how to make application. Father, that you would be glorified by our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question's asked, and the answer is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The gospel to sinners brings hope. But did you know the gospel of sanctification brings hope to the defeated Christian? Seriously. After these five chapters on salvation freely by grace, I believe this text wants us to understand that we have something marvelous after we are saved. Just as Satan tries to confuse people with a struggle theology, and I use those terms to say it this way, people think that they have to work to be saved. How many folks have you talked to and you ask them, do you know Christ their Savior? And they said yes, and you say, how do you know that? And they say, well, I was baptized. You ever had that answer? Or I go to church. I have them say, well, I teach a Sunday school class. Do you realize you can get in the baptistry 100 times and it's not going to get you saved? You can teach 400 Sunday school classes, that's not going to get you saved. It's nothing we do, not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand that. And so, yet a lot of people, they believe in this struggle theology. But by the same token, we find that God's people do the very same thing when it comes to sanctification. That word sanctification means to be set apart, just be set apart into holiness. In other words, that we might live holy lives for the Lord, might bring glory and honor to Him. And I believe that's the desire. If you're saved, you want to see that happen. But so often we find ourselves in a defeated mode. And so the purpose tonight, I hope, is that we can understand a few things and be a blessing to you. And I'm trying to do something tonight, and I just messed it all up. How many have ever done that in their life? Jeez. There, I got it and didn't even know it. The gospel that really is to you and I, and I use the word saints tonight, is that Jesus not only delivers us from sin's penalty, but it delivers us from the power of sin. Now, as we stop and think about that, we probably look back and we think, I'm not sure about that one. I sure struggle a whole lot. Well, I want us to notice a few things tonight. And notice, first of all, there are three facts in the text we're going to look at. And they must be understood, and they're easy to recognize because the words know or knowing are there. So notice with me verse number 3 and verse 4. It says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into what? His death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Okay? Fact number 1, all believers are saints. You say they are? Yeah. All believers are saints. Let me try to show you why I believe that tonight. There's a statement I want to make, first of all, and that is salvation places us into his death. Is that not true? That's what we're talking about here in this verse. And the purpose for that is that we die in Christ, that we might live in Christ. And that puts us in a position to walk. For if you notice the last part of verse 4 says, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay? That's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to have victory. He wants us to be walking with him, in him, and so forth. Now when you and I get saved, the Spirit of Christ joins our human spirit, or enlivens it, actually. And therefore, we are saints because that means we've been made holy. God looks at us and he sees us as righteous. He looks at us through Christ and he sees us as perfect. He sees us as holy. And thank God for that. It's a position that you and I have with God. Now, we don't always practice it, but I hope that we can see some things that help us to practice that. Fact number 2, all saints, if you're saved tonight, you're a saint. All saints, by the way, you don't have to be sanitized by a church. I don't know where I got that word. Try using that one when you play Scrabble next time. Fact number 2, though, all saints are free to live victoriously. Do you believe that tonight? All saints are free to live victorious. If we've died in him, we've been raised in him, and he be in us, can we not live victorious? We've been crucified with him. Death removes us from the master of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. That took place, and now we've been set free. Serious. We're free from it. Oh, we sin, but it doesn't have to be our master. We mess up from time to time. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it removes us from that master. We have been separated from the old master, and we've been made in union with the new master. And if you and I tonight would focus our thoughts, our whole being, on the ability not to sin through our union with Christ, rather than focusing on our ability to sin, we'd be more likely to experience victory. You go back in the book of Proverbs and it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. There is so much to that. So much to that. We've operated school for years and years. One of the things I found is a student who believes he can. The student who doesn't believe he can't. He's defeated before he ever starts. You see that in life. And we see that oftentimes with God's people because they're focusing on their ability to sin. And thus they will experience sin. I know people say, I just can't help it. You know, you can say no. You have the ability to do that, okay? One may live saintly because he is a saint. However, resigning to bad habits, think about this, is placing one's experience on a higher level than God's word. God says we've been made like to him. God says we've been crucified with him. We've been raised with him. And when you and I have our thinking that, no, we can't do it, we can't do it, we are putting our experience higher than the word of God. It causes great problems. Fact number three, Christ is my victory. Amen? It's in a person. By the way, it's not just understanding that he's our victory, but that he is my victory. Amen? Oh, we can say, yeah, there's a victory in Christ, but do we believe it's our victory in Christ? That'd be very important for us. To access practical victory through Christ, we need to embrace this positional victory that is ours. In other words, we've got to have the right thinking. It's a prerequisite. If we're going to have right thinking, hey, I'm a child of God, I'm a saint of God, I have victory through Christ, that becomes a prerequisite to right living. How many of you ever attended an IMAX theater? Been in IMAX? What was your experience? What would some of those, you can be in a cockpit of an airplane. And what are you experiencing? Huh? You get dizzy, get nauseous. Some people actually vomit. Okay. The first one I ever saw, I didn't actually get to see it on IMAX, but I saw what they did, and it was a roller coaster. And you weren't sitting in the back or the middle, you were sitting in the front and seeing the whole thing. And people are going down that, and they feel all of that. But is that the fact of what is going on around them? Think about it for a moment. No, in reality, they're stationary. The seat hasn't moved. Their body hasn't moved. It's what? They have their focus upon the sensation of the plane rather than having their focus upon the stationary reality that is there. And thus, to think on being defeated by the world and flesh will cause us to be feel defeat, and to think on Christ and our victory in him will help bring victory to our lives. Depend on the facts of sanctification. Scriptures give us, as we look at some more of these, Scripture gives us three imperatives. An imperative, it's a command that's directly to the will. And in these verses, they address both the negative and positive side of real surrender and faith. So stop and think about some of these. First of all, on the negative side, stop placing ourselves under sin as an authority. It's not our authority. It doesn't have it. What happened? We died to it. We died to it in Christ. And yet we don't really believe that, but we must understand from Scripture that be true. And you say, well, man, I've yielded to the flesh. Well, then confess it to God, and by faith accept his cleansing power. What's he tell us? If we confess our sins, he's what? faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So stop placing ourselves under the sin as an authority. Stop presenting our bodily members to sin to be used as instruments of righteousness. He talks about some of these things in the following verses. You can certainly go through and read. After the Emancipation Proclamation at the end of the Civil War, there were some slaves that did not know about their new freedom, and they kept yielding their bodies to the demand of their masters. But they'd been set free. What was the problem? They didn't know it. They didn't understand that, and so they thought they were still captive. What's the problem with Christians? Somehow we think that we are still captive of that and can't get away from it. What we need to do is start placing ourselves under God as authority. Notice verse 13. One of the great verses. It says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We place ourselves under His authority. We are yielding to Him. If you leave church and go out here and hit Interstate 29 and go north or south, you start to come up on the main traffic, and what is there? There's a sign there that says yield. There was a big truck coming. It'd be a good idea that you do, because it's going to hurt you. And so you give way to that. And that's the same thing we must do with God. And so we must yield our bodies to the demands of our new master. Place ourselves under God as our authority. Start placing our bodily members to God to be used as instruments of righteousness. God gave you a tongue. What do you use it for? Can it be used for unrighteousness? Yeah. But you have a choice to make it otherwise. You can either be critical, or you can be one who's sensitive and helpful. Seriously. And if you're saved, you've been crucified with Christ, you have that new life within, and if you get your thinking right, you can do that. You can do it. Very simple. Well, maybe not so simple. Many times people say, well, we just have to have faith. This be true. But rather than just using the word faith or believe, I believe our text describes it is faith with inspired precision. I can't even say the word. Let me put it this way. It's trusting to obey. God says this is the direction. I know that this is His, He's the master, and thus I choose to obey that. And I trust Him to cause the outcome to be right. Can Jesus Christ live the Christian life? Be pretty dumb to say no. If you're saved, who lives within you? The Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, you and I have the power to live for Him. If we get our thinking right. And too often we think, I just can't overcome this. Yeah, we can. We have that in Christ. And not to be defeated, but to realize we have victory in Christ. And so we choose to believe what He says and to act accordingly. It's amazing. You say, but preacher, I still got flesh. Yeah, you do. You do. And it's going to pull you and it's going to tear you. But again, we go back to 1 John 1:9. And what do we do when it happens? We confess it. And when He says He cleanses it, guess what He did? He cleansed it. Some of you might remember, it's probably been 6, 8 years ago. I don't remember how long. I had been dealing with something that had bothered me, and I really had a bad attitude towards the whole thing, and I'd asked God to forgive me, and it was right there again. I asked God to forgive me to be right there again. I asked God to forgive me to be right there again. And finally one day I was reading 1 John 1:9, and I looked at that and I thought, you know, God says he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. And for me not to believe that is not be exercising faith. And as a result, I would go back to the other. And when that thing hit me, that, hey, he had forgiven me, it was wiped clean. All of a sudden, now I realize, hey, I can, in Christ, go in the right direction. You see, it's really a battle for the mind. And you and I, we need to have our thinking right. Are you a sinner or a saint tonight?
Yes.
Huh? You're a saint. If you're saved, you're a saint. So I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, thank God, but that makes you what? A saint. The problem is too often we put the emphasis on a sinner saved by grace and don't recognize what that makes us. Do we sin? Yeah. What do we do about it? We confess it. What happens to that sin? It's gone. It's gone. You say, well, that's too easy. It's wonderful. It's called grace. But what we see from that is, hey, I can live for him. It's possible. And too often we think, I can't do this, I can't do that. If we just yield ourselves to whatever it is that he's trying to show us, and we can do so. Okay? It cannot be accomplished. I know this because I've been around preachers much of my life. Most men who stand in the pulpit are not outgoing. There are some. But most are somewhat introverted. Most don't have really a great speaking ability. Some of them slaughter the King's English. There's many things of that nature. But God enables them. And by the way, through time, he helps them to get rid of some of those bad things. But you can when you realize you can. So quit saying I can't. Somebody said, well, I got a habit and I just can't quit it. That's because you're focusing on the habit rather than Christ. Because he can quit it, and he lives inside. Amen? And what a great, great privilege it is. That's a simple message. I hope it's one that's understandable tonight. I feel like I'm going to tell you, I feel like a failure. It's been victorious. But it's a great, 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 great thing for us to realize. We're going to have a word of prayer. Our young folks are going to go across the way, and I don't know what they do. They go over there and make a mess out of things. Get balls out and throw them all over at each other, and I don't know what they do. But we're going to stay here. We're going to hear about a missionary tonight. And so let's pray, and we'll do that. Father, thank you so much for each one here. We pray for your blessing. We pray, oh God, that you'd help us to understand how important our thinking is when it comes to our position in you. And when we have the right position in our hearts and our minds, it becomes our practice. So, Lord, I pray you might bless and remind us of this every time we seem to get the idea that we can't do it. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.